Morning. Good morning. Welcome. Good morning. A couple announcements this morning. Bible study Friday, 7 o'clock, and next Sunday worship service at 11. Are there any other announcements? Are there any prayer requests? All right. Rafi will read the psalm today, and Tom will say the prayer and give us the message. And following the sermon, there will be communion, and following that, we'll sing the doxology and have lunch. Again.
The psalm today is Psalm 41. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul. For I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die, and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen. and amen.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you this morning on a beautiful day where you've blessed us so abundantly with beautiful weather this summer. We come to you filled with joy and peace and rest on the day of rest. We come to you opening up your word to learn more of you, more about what you've done, what you are doing, and what you will do. We are so joyful to be sons and daughters of Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son and all the things that he's accomplished through that Holy Spirit with the clay vessels that we are here. Father, because of your Son, we have joy, peace in the Holy Ghost. Because of your Son, we are at rest. Because of your Son, we are forgiven. Because of your Son, we are bold. Because of your Son, we are confident that we are walking the straight and narrow way through the narrow gate, going in and out, and partaking of green pasture. Because of your Son, we know we will suffer persecution. Because of your Son, we know we will be in situations where we will be looking up constantly. Because of your Son, we fight the good fight of faith. Because of your Son, we have everything we need. Because of your Son, we are heirs and joint heirs of heaven to come. Because of your Son, we are saints. Father, we are so thankful to be able to congregate in a free country, in a church where we can preach the good news of Jesus Christ. We are so thankful that we have the ability to work, the ability to feed our children sustenance, not only in the word, but sustenance to let them grow physically and spiritually. Father, we are thankful for this congregation and for all visitors that come, as we are all part of the bride of Christ. We are all part of the saints. We all are all part of the spiritual seed of Abraham. And we are all part of you. And Father, we are so thankful and blessed. Blessed beyond measure to sing the perfect prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be granted unto you through that Holy Spirit during this hour and day of worship. Amen. Well, it seems like this Psalm 16 has, if you haven't noticed, we've read it the last two Sundays as the Psalm reading. And whenever that happens, it seems like it's not a coincidence that it's being read. It's just the way it seems. And being that Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the flock, I think it's probably due diligence on our part to just study that passage today, Psalm 16. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. This psalm is a psalm of David, where he's fleeing for safety and where he is basically knowing who his refuge is, knowing exactly who he's confident in. And the first verse says that, "Preserve me, maintain in me an original existence. Please don't let my enemies take my life. Give me the ability to survive. I have more to offer." So there's that thought. But then he, with the colon, he says, "For in thee do I put my trust." Either David or Moses in the 91st Psalm, whoever wrote that, they really don't know. I kind of lean towards David, but at the same time, Moses wrote the 90th Psalm, and some people feel that he wrote the 91st. And this has a good explanation of refuge, and it kind of goes to show where David is in Psalm 16. And I'll just read it quickly. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." This is where I live. "There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall not trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." In Psalm 16, David is showing the confidence that he has in God the Father, Jesus the Son, through that indwelling Spirit. "Preserve me, keep me from harm's way, keep me in the path, the narrow gate, keep me in the right way, and I can only trust in you to guide and direct. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee. What is David saying? He's kind of saying, the only good in me is what you've granted to me. The fruit of the Spirit. The virtue that's been added. And all the rest that Peter talks about in Peter. There is so many things that is good in me. But it's not of me. It's not of my flesh. It's not something that I've created. It's something you've given me through your grace and through the gifts of a father that gives only good gifts to sons and daughters in Christ who receive them. We have a bold confidence that God is good and we are not. But the good that is in us is of him and will dwell and last until we meet him again in paradise. So I have no good in me except that which thou hast planted in me. But to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom all is my delight. David is saying, I am surrounded by the spiritual seed of Abraham, the soldiers of the cross, the saints, the bride of Christ. And he says, in whom is all my delight? Why does David delight in this? Because there's like-mindedness. There's kindred spirits. There's an understanding that I have a whole bunch of people that'll have my back. And I have a whole bunch of people that think the same way I do. That I'm a sinner saved by grace. But God sees me as a saint. Because of the work of the cross. And there is protection. And there is comfort. And there is conversation. And there is the ability to mourn with them that mourn. And celebrate with them that celebrate. And there is uplifting the body of Christ. Through visitation. Through listening. Through speaking. And this is what David is sharing here. And there's accountability. Like Nathan came to David and told him about the ewe lamb, told him the story, and he said, thou art the man. David was accountable for adultery. He was accountable for murder. And a loving saint, Nathan, brought it to him. And fearfully of he could die for bringing this to him. But because David received it, and because he was bold enough to go through with it, because he had that assurance that as Nathan spoke to David and said, basically, you are guilty of this. But God has not held your sin. He has forgiven you. So there's the grace of the sender and the grace of the receiver. Where we receive unmerited favor through that love and through that grace. And how does this look like? What does it look like? In Galatians chapter 6, there's a few examples of how grace is given to others. Galatians 6:1-2, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What does that mean? You understand that somebody else will fall into sin. You bear their burdens. You do not excuse their sin. You don't say, it's okay, that happens to everyone. You bear the burdens by saying, I know what it's like to miss the mark. I know what it's like to sin. And somebody came to me and rescued me from feeling guilty and the assailing of the devil, the world, and everybody else, my reputation. And I understand that. But it's saying here, bear one another's burdens. You understand the sinner. But they should actually grieve in what they're actually experiencing. They should actually mourn in that sin is exceedingly sinful. We're not to excuse the sin, but we're supposed to bear them up, and we're supposed to actually help them through it. Spend time with them, talk to them, have a conversation. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Provoke one another to love and to good works. How do you do that? By loving them and understanding that they are frail and they make mistakes and they need help and they need to be uplifted in the body. Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is not just church. It's not just church. As the bride of Christ, as the group of believers, as saints, it's if you hear of someone that is part of the bride, that is mourning, that is having a difficult time, or that is celebrating and having a good time, are you going out to say congratulations to them on how God has accomplished something in their life, and are you celebrating with them? Are you mourning with them? Are you spending time with them? We're all part of the same God. We all are brothers and sisters in Christ, the ones who believe in the work of the cross, the gospel message that's in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians 1 to 4. We all are responsible and accountable to each other, ambassadors for Christ. We should be building each other up, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So, it's interesting when we look at this, and even from a point of view of families, blood families, it's important to get together. And if your family is from all the way across the continent, different place, it's very difficult to get together. But when you do get together, and you get together as blood family, it's no different than the actual bride of Christ. It's the same. Your conversations are sweet. You might have memories of what happened when you were in grade 1 with your sister or brother or grade 2, and those conversations come. But the older you get, the more important conversations will be, what has Christ showed you this week? What is the Holy Spirit teaching you today? Those conversations get more and more important later on in life. When you have a whole bunch of kids, the role of the mother is to nurture and teach those kids in the admonition of the Lord and the way that those kids should go. They're busy doing that. There's a good chance they don't have a lot of time to read their Bible. But that's the season they're in. Enjoy that season because it will go by fast. But later on in life, and this is why it's important when you get together as families, when you have reunions, whether they're every 5 years, 12 years, 20 years, hopefully sooner than that, that you will realize that the conversations later on in life will become more and more just about Jesus. More and more just about what Jesus has done and is doing and will do. More and more that you will realize that he's your all in all. And he's more important to you than anyone else. Because that's the season you're in. So when you see this, it is a beautiful picture of family. And that is the bride, the kindred spirits. We long to be with each other, to have conversation. And it might be about the church. It might be about certain doctrines in the church. It might, whatever it is, are you building each other up during those conversations? But to the saints that are on the earth, and to the excellent in whom all my delight, bride of Christ, the relationships which we have. 1 Corinthians 5, 12 and 13. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? What are they saying here? It's a question. They're without Christ. They're without. They're poor because they don't have. Do not ye judge them that are within? That's what David's saying in Psalm 16. We are accountable to each other. We judge the ones that are within the bride, the spiritual seed of Abraham. We're accountable to each other. That's not exactly the way that God would probably have you do that sort of thing. Let's look to Scripture to see what advice we can get. Let's look to Proverbs to see what counsel we can receive. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. It's pretty harsh here. If somebody is in the body of Christ that is part of the church, this church, and they're propagating sin, what does it say? Put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Yes, we want them to restore. We want the restoration. We want the reconciliation. But if they're promoting sin and saying it's okay, we need to nip that in the bud and get rid of it. And we will, and that person, when they repent, if they repent by the grace of God, if the love of God constrains them to repent, we reconcile them in. We bring them back in. But in the meantime, the instruction in Corinthians is pretty clear. So we have here, and the reason why David's talking about this is because of idol worship in 16. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. What's David saying? I'm going to stand. In Ephesians 6:10, he gives you the ability to do that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may abide, able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against ideologies that are against the word, against thoughts that are against the word. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking unto the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance of and supplications for all saints, the perseverance of the saints through the power of prayer. The saints will persevere to the end because of the power of prayer, because they have the spiritual seed of Abraham praying for them. And the power of prayer will get them to the end. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open up my mouth boldly and make the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, slave to righteousness, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The Lord is my portion, my inheritance, and my cup, that maintainest my lot. What's he saying there? The Lord is my all in all. I inherit him. Romans 8. :14-17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, daughters of God. For you have not received a spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You are part of the inheritance. You're the children of God. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit beareth with your spirit. What does the Holy Spirit tell you? It is finished. Jesus has done it all for you. He's the propitiation for you. He received the wrath of God in your stead. Your sins are taken away as far as the east is from the west. You are joyful. You were wonderfully made because you are his. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. A goodly heritage. Because you're part of the spiritual seed of Abraham. You are the saints in Christ, brothers and sisters, chosen from the Father to receive heaven in the future. Sins are paid for. That's what a saint is. No blemish. You have received the perfect 33 years of Jesus Christ. His righteousness was imputed to you on Easter Sunday. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. Proverbs 24. Verse 25. Verse 25? Maybe not. Proverbs 24:6, sorry. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Where do we get wise counsel from? God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Also the bride of Christ, the spiritual seed of Abraham. If you're ever wondering what decision to make, what choice to make, talk to the saints. You think I should do this? I'm thinking about doing this. See what people say. I don't know if that's a good idea, Tom. Maybe that's not the best thing. Pray about it. Ask God for help. Through that Holy Spirit, you will get direction. Many times it's the opposite of what choice you're going to make. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. When it's dark, light is there. When it's nighttime, the Holy Spirit goes with you. The path is clear. You will know what decision to make. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. Now, verses 8 to 11 is beautiful. It's speaking. There's many people in the New Testament that have spoken of these verses and referred to them, Peter being one and Paul being another. If you look at Acts 2:25, why this is important, you have other ambassadors for Christ who are referencing this text. Acts 2:25 to 28, it's basically speaking of Psalm 16. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. I'm going to stand in the power of his grace, and I'm going to be bold. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Hope of what? Hope of salvation. Assurance of salvation. Assurance that when Jesus says it is finished, it is finished, present tense. The work is done, it's accomplished. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Why? Because you're a saint. You're going to heaven. Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Joy is way above happiness, because you're at peace when you're joyful. You're at rest when you're joyful. You're calm when you're joyful. You're in control when you're joyful, because you know who the author and finisher of your faith is, who's guiding and directing you. Acts 13:35, again. That first one was Peter speaking. This one is Paul speaking. Wherefore he saith unto in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. We are not going to see hell. We are going to see heaven because of what Christ has done for us and is doing for us through his perfect life that he lived here. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoiceth. My flesh also rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. We're saints. We will see God for who he is. loving, kind, just, pure, gracious, merciful. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The pleasures forevermore is knowing you are his and he is yours. It's everlasting. You are in the palm of his hand. He will carry you home safely, surely, effortlessly, calmly. He will treat you like glass that if you move it one way or the other, it could be shattered. But it's strong as a rock because of what's inside you. The love of Christ. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And he will do all things according to his will and way to get you to glory. In Jesus' name. Let's continue with 172 and then we'll have communion. As what we commonly do, let's recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for them. Let us pray with and for them who now shall partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of the body and blood, they may receive the peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us all pray. Our Lord and Jesus Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we'll have people come up and take the wafer and the wine. And people that want to come to the communion well can come, and I will serve the wafer and the wine to them. And let's do that. May the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve your bodies and souls unto eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord for his gracious gift, which he's partaken, and proclaim his suffering and death and resurrection until he cometh again. Arise and depart in the name of the Lord, in the peace of the Lord. O Lord, Almighty God, thou who allowed us to partake of this holy supper, we thank thee for thy grace and pray. Grant that we also, with all thy chosen saints, may share thy eternal honor and glory through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost in one Godhead from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's sing 531 and Doxology 666.